say who he's negotiating with in Iran because he's afraid that they'll be killed. And everyone knows he's talking about they'll be killed by the Israelis because the Israelis have been killing the moderates and killing the negotiators. I mean, that tells you everything you need to know.
There you go, folks. Tells you everything you need to know about who wants this war, who doesn't, why we're still in it, where it goes from here. Again, Israel got us into the war, and now they're preventing us from getting out. That's what's happening. They're using Iran like they're using America. Okay? They don't want us to get peace. They don't want us to get a ceasefire. And this, again, just has to, I mean, you have to wonder what's happening in Trump's mind. What's happening, you know, how does he interpret all of this? Because time and time again, he is being humiliated by Israel. And this has become a quagmire because of Israel. This is like the 10th time Israel has done this. You know that? We had somebody that we thought was going to take over. That's what that whole 48-hour turnaround was about. It may have worked. It may actually have succeeded. We were in contact with somebody that was like, I got all the people in place. I can take over. You just need to take out the top guys. We take out the top guys. They slot into those leadership positions. Call a ceasefire. Like, that actually might have worked if the Israelis didn't kill the guy. So then we do it again, and we find somebody else, they kill him. And we find somebody else, they kill him. They don't want Iran to be a functioning country. Again, this is tomorrow's news today. I just can't reemphasize that enough. We actually are tomorrow's news today, and this was the obvious interpretation the moment that the war started. And I told you the moment that the war started that this would be the outcome, that this is the only possible outcome, is that Israel, and because Israel, through America, they want Iran to be a failed state. How many times have I said it? They want a Syria 2.0. They want a completely destroyed sort of stateless region where various armed factions can war against each other forever, with the ultimate upshot being that they have no ability to project power outside of their own borders, meaning that America or Israel could bomb them at will whenever they want, and they would have no capacity to respond. That's how Gaza was. That's how Lebanon is. That's how Syria is. That's how Iraq was for a while. I mean, you have, this week, Israel bombing Damascus. They bombed Damascus. Maybe there'd be a response from the Syrian army, but of course not. Because A, they don't have the capability to respond. B, we put a puppet in place. That's the ultimate goal. You want to know what the goal for Iran is, just look at Syria. Look at the pogroms against Christians. Look at the attacks on the Druze. Look at the way that the literal head-chopping terrorist is being feted, being celebrated and honored in Europe right now. Literally rolling out the red carpet for him. And of course, Israel mandates death penalty for West Bank Palestinians who kill in terrorist acts, i.e. defend themselves against the actual terrorist attacks. All right. There's just, again, so much when it comes to the Iran war, but we got to get through some of it. But some of it's very interesting, I have to say. So Iran ex-foreign minister Karazi gravely wounded in an attack on his home. Kamal Karazi has been seriously wounded in an apparent assassination attempt that killed his wife. The United States, as United States and Israel strikes continue to pound Iran, they reported that his home was targeted the previous day in an airstrike. So, again, it's like, do we not just play the video of him being like, negotiations are a non-starter, these people can't be trusted? He should have listened to himself. He knew. He knew they couldn't be trusted. He made the argument. He said, they kill our negotiators. They did it before the Iran war even started. They did it last June when they bombed Qatar, bombed the negotiating teams there. Like, this guy's like, yeah, it's not worth it to try and negotiate with America, despite knowing that, despite his reservations, despite being aware that he couldn't trust the Americans in Israel, he still entered into negotiations, ostensibly because he actually genuinely wants peace for his country, and Israel kills him. And again, I'm sort of just horrified at the number of people that hear this type of stuff and are like, well, they shouldn't have messed with us then. And again, it's like, do you not understand that this is all literally against your interests? This is against your direct interests. They are creating a situation in which Iran is more extreme than before, more like insane than before, like less, you know, bound by, you know, international law or anything like that. I mean, you know, you're creating another ISIS. They're not going to care about anything. More likely that they're going to get a nuclear weapon, more likely that a nuclear power gets involved and helps them get a nuclear weapon, someone like Russia or China or Pakistan or anybody around them that has nukes, that might feel like they're getting the short end of the stick and want to swoop in. There's probably going to be massive amounts of migrants at the end of all of this that will flood into Europe and probably take it over completely. That's if they don't start World War III in the meantime, start the draft and totally wipe out whatever remnant remains of the native population of those countries. So I really don't know what else to tell you, but like, this doesn't benefit anybody. And it's not a good thing. I'm trying to think of like a metaphor or something where it's just what you're doing is diametrically opposed to your own interest. But like, you just can't see that. And I'll open up the phone calls, the phone lines for your calls in the third hour. But the call from a character today on American Journal arguing with Rex. And I was convinced he was a troll. But then you remember, like, no, there's some people that are just like that. And just literally are like, it doesn't matter to them. There's like, but America's kicking ass. It's like, but not really. But every ass we kick is just us going further down the path of destruction. What are you talking about? It doesn't matter, I guess. Same thing. Argument I was getting is like, you idiot, they're going to take Iran's oil. And then last night, Trump gives a speech where he's like, we don't even want the oil, and we're not taking it. Okay. So every single thing ever claimed about the Iran war in the positive has been fake. Everything. Oil spikes as Trump vows to hit Iran extremely hard over the next 2 to 3 weeks, threatens to send it back to the Stone Age. And they keep saying this phrase, back to the Stone Age. Pete Hegseth said the same thing, back to the Stone Age, where they belong. Like, yeah, you're just horrible people. But interestingly, as a fan of history and words and etymology, thought we'd figure out where this phrase came from. History News Network has an etymology for the phrase bombing them back to the Stone Age. Just after 9/11, the United States allegedly threatened to bomb Pakistan, quote, back to the Stone Age, unless it joined the war in terror. In his forthcoming book, Pakistani leader Pervez Musharraf attributes that ultimatum to Richard Armitage, who flatly denies it. Now, Richard Armitage, you may remember the name, Richard Armitage. He was the fifth of the five members of the Council of Five, along with George H.W. Bush and William Lansdale and Lieutenant General Ferrara, William Colby, and a few others. This was the seed council that started the deep state. All right, so in Vietnam, when the CIA was trying to basically overthrow countries and doing a bunch of stuff they're not legally allowed to do, they were running into trouble because Congress controlled their purse strings and so therefore had oversight over whatever they were doing. So if they wanted to overthrow a country, they had to go to Congress and say, hey, we're trying to overthrow a country, we're trying to assassinate somebody. And that was inconvenient because Congress wasn't always okay with, you know, breaking international law for the benefit of the cabal. So they decided to make their own money separately. So they wanted to create a drug running operation. They recruited five people, each with a specific skill that they needed. It actually made kind of a good like Ocean's 11 heist movie, only would star George H.W. Bush, who was called Poppy, by the way. Like, you know, his nickname was Poppy, right? That's because he was in charge of running Poppy from China. He had all the connections in China. He was a pilot. They set up a fake Eric. Anyway, you should know all this. The point is, you should recognize the name Richard Armitage as being George H.W. Bush, so-called quote-unquote gopher. He was the right-hand man to George H.W. Bush, was with him in the CIA, helped to establish the drug running operation, and of course still held a, you know, position of power in the George W. Bush White House several decades later. So apparently he came up with this phrase to saying bomb Pakistan back to the Stone Age, but actually comes from an earlier time. The quote is actually usually attributed to Curtis LeMay, The scowling Air Force general who incinerated two-thirds of Japan's cities in World War II and was disappointed when Kennedy wouldn't let him do the same in Cuba. In his 1968 memoir, he suggested that rather than negotiating with the Hanoi, the United States should, quote, bomb them back to the Stone Age by taking out factories, harbors, bridges, quote, until we have destroyed every work of man in North Vietnam. So I just think it's kind of an interesting historical parallel that, in fact, the phrase bomb them back to the Stone Age harkens back to the last outrageous quagmire that actually kind of permanently broke American society, the Vietnam War, the ridiculous boondoggle that represents probably the greatest foreign policy failure in American history was itself. The strategy was centered on bombing them back to the Stone Age. So it's interesting that they're referencing back to this other quagmire, this other failed exercise of American imperialism, the Vietnam War, to describe the Iran War. That's just fascinating, isn't it? Isn't that interesting? So again, the headline from AOL, U.S. and Israel literally blow up Vance's peace talks after strike on Iran negotiators' home. Donald Trump's peace talks with Iran may have blown up after the U.S.-Israeli strikes seriously injured a key figure in the Iranian regime on Wednesday. Iran's former foreign minister, I believe, Kamal Karazi, who'd been helping organize a meeting with J.D. Vance aimed at helping to end the war, was injured when a residential building in Tehran was struck. According to local reports, Iranian officials have called the joint U.S.-Israeli strikes an attempt to derail diplomacy. And it worked. And tell you what, I bet literally any other Iranian negotiator that wants to make a deal, they probably don't want to make a deal anymore. You literally keep killing everybody that wants to make a deal. Or Israel keeps killing everybody who makes a deal, and then Trump takes credit for it. You explain it to me. Meanwhile, U.S. and Israel are bombing bridges and medical institutes in Iran and calling it victory. The Pasteur Institute of Iran hit today in strikes is far more than just a building. It's a century-old pillar of global health and the oldest medical research center in West Asia. Founded in 1920 in collaboration with the Pasteur Institute of Paris, it spent over 100 years combating outbreaks such as rabies, smallpox, and cholera. As a leading hub for vaccine production, including BCG and hepatitis B, the institute represents the height of Iranian scientific advancement in humanitarian service. The World Health Organization also verified that it was among at least 13 health infrastructure sites hit during the U.S.-Israel war. Targeting a facility dedicated to preventing disease and developing life-saving medicine strikes at the core of Iran's public health infrastructure. In the same wave of attacks, the B-1 bridge in Alborz, officially named the Ibrahim Razi Bridge, or Razi Bridge, was recognized as the tallest bridge in the Middle East and was also targeted. Standing 136 meters high and stretching over a kilometer across the Karaj River Valley, it was designed to alleviate one of Iran's most severe civilian challenges, the traffic bottleneck between Tehran and Karaj. By linking the Northern Karaj Freeway, the bridge was meant to ease daily commutes. And we bombed it. The nature of these attacks reflects the U.S. and Israel's real objective of systematically degrading Iran by targeting its logistical and medical backbone. The B-1 bridge, developed with the involvement of the Qatam al-Anbaya construction headquarters, stood as a symbol of advanced engineering aimed at modernizing transport. And we just bombed it to hell. So again, I ask you, like, what would be the argument against Iran bombing our bridges? I mean, we are direct war. I mean, it would be a little different if we at least had that minimal, you know, mask of Ukraine, right? Because we allow Ukraine to, like, bomb Russia, but we feel kind of safe doing that because it's like, well, that's Ukraine doing it. And if they get hit, oh, well. But it's all our intelligence and it's all our everything. The point is that by behaving in this utterly brutal and unstrategic way, and this may be the point. I mean, the point may be to cause blowback to America. There's not really any other reason. It's not going to drive people away from the regime. They aren't storing nuclear waste in the bridge, right? And this just has nothing to do with any of the proclaimed goals of the war, because every outcome of this type of attack is only negative for America. And if you think that we as America should just be allowed to go around and bomb civilians all over the world and that we shouldn't expect any blowback, you're living in fantasy world. That's not how it works. Something called natural law. Fair is fair, right? We are opening this can of worms for no reason. There's no value to this. There's no strategic importance to the sites we're hitting. 100 schools have been bombed by America, directly on Israel. Our bombs, not Israel's bombs that we gave them, not Ukrainian bombs that we facilitate. Our bombs from Americans dropping them. I again just say that, like, the one thing I think keeping America, the American homeland, from being attacked right now is the fact that Americans are against this war and that Iran knows that. And they seem to actually be behaving in a strategic way. It's just like in Iran. If something in America got attacked and American civilians got attacked, the obvious and immediate result would be a massive push for more war in Iran, massive support for Trump. I mean, it would really benefit Iran's enemies if they attacked infrastructure. It's the same with us, only we're doing it. Only we are attacking that infrastructure. And it may be trying to piss Iran off because, you know, the people in America also know that the war is unpopular. They also want an attack on Americans. And they might not be confident enough that they could pull off a false flag attack. They might be running the simulations and going, man, we could do a false flag attack. We could bomb a hospital in America and blame it on Iran, but nobody would believe it. Maybe the only way to do this is to actually get Iran to attack by actually provoking them, by actually just bombing their civilians and terror raids continuously, trying to get them to respond in kind. So just, if you're a Christian, you understand, treat others as you like to be treated. Would you like to have your hospital bombed? I mean, this is how I talk to my, you know, 5 and 3-year-old. Do you like it when somebody just comes out of nowhere and hits you in the head with a toy for no reason? No, don't do it to other people, okay? Okay, children? So let's sit down with the U.S. military and say, we don't want our hospitals targeted by Iran, and there's no reason to bomb their hospitals. What are you doing? Why are you doing that? Why are you deliberately collapsing a country of 90 million people with no strategic point at all? People asking, is Trump planning a ground invasion of Iran on Good Friday? Certainly would fit the modus operandi. President Trump has suggested he could walk away from Iran and leave other nations to police the Strait of Hormuz, threatening that America, quote, won't be there to help you anymore. Traditional allies of the U.S. told one day that he does not need them, another day taunted as cowards, and then told they should hurry up and, quote, go to the Strait, are wondering how to respond or whether Trump is playing a different game altogether. This also, by the way, is not as naturally occurring as I think people want to believe either. I think all of this is actually motivated in like actually destroying Europe. Like we're sad about what's happening in Europe because we love Europe, right? I love the people of Europe. I want Europe to survive. I want it to be like the archival videos of old, you know, all the way back in like the early 2000s before it was destroyed and it just looked nice and pleasant and fun. And now it's just taken over by radical Islam. So we kind of make fun of Europe. We kind of tease Europe because they're weenies. They're a bunch of weenies over there, a bunch of socialist nap takers. Wouldn't know a hard day's work if it bit them in the butt. But that's all in good fun, and we actually love Europe and want Europe to survive and thrive and to free itself from the shackles of globalism that are destroying it. But as you read about people talking about NATO and talking about Europe helping us in Iran, there comes through this seething vitriol that I think is not healthy and is not – this isn't your classic like Americana, like, yeah, we're going to kick butt and those dumb Europeans don't know how to take care of themselves. Like, that's not what this is. This is something else. This is like, let's hamper and destroy Europe. And everything that's destroyed Europe has come from America. I mean, the climate change agenda, that's an American invention. And that's why they're struggling. That's why they can't, you know, keep food on the table, keep their energy up. The Middle East wars that created the migrant crisis. Like, America and the people that run America have been using America to destroy Europe for a while. And it seems like they're using Trump now, this whole... And again, all of this stuff is, how do I put it? It's just the monkey paw. Actually, it really is the monkey paw. It really, that is just the best explanation for this. President Monkey Paw, because like we want the UN to go away. We don't think the UN serves a valuable purpose. I mean, if the UN served a purpose at all, you would think it would be to protect people like the people in Gaza. Like, if there was a reason for the UN to exist, it was what Israel's been doing for the last 2.5 years, and they have done nothing. So it's like, why does it even exist? It does less than nothing. It really just gives you an outlet for people who think they're doing something. Oh, they charged Netanyahu with war crimes and genocide. And it's like, okay, well, nobody will do anything about it, so it doesn't really matter. It's just an exercise in futility. So then it's Trump like, you know, we're going to get rid of the UN. And we're all like, good, finally. And he's like, yeah, we're going to replace it with the Board of Peace. We're going to replace it with a technocratic, unelected, you know, permanent tyranny that's going to use Palantir to circumvent national law and just impose control through corporations. And it's like, well, that is a monkey paw result if I've ever seen one. Same thing with NATO. I don't like NATO. I don't think we need to be the babysitters for Western Europe. It's not an important or valuable use of our money or our resources or our lives. So like, yeah, we're going to get rid of NATO so we can destroy Europe. And it's like, okay, what the hell? We don't want Europe destroyed. These people do. A lot of these people do. And by the way, just like the plan I laid out for you yesterday, it's gone mainstream. Risky commando plan to seize Iran's uranium came at Trump's request, which is exactly like I told you, and that the bombing campaign so far from America seemed to be trying to create a corridor so that a small number of commandos can go in and seize the uranium, because that would be a big Hollywood-style success story that you could play up and act like represents the ultimate victory of this necessary war. But it might not go that well. But it does appear as though that speculation I was reading to you yesterday has been borne out in the actual information. I'm going to move on, but here's probably the most important headline yet out of Reuters. A war meant to break Iran could leave Tehran stronger and the Gulf exposed. Yep, obviously. So again, it's like, okay, all of the goals Trump laid out, we haven't achieved. Anything you hear from anybody supporting this war has been just eviscerated over the last 24 hours. We're not taking the oil. We haven't mitigated their threat of a nuclear weapon. We haven't opened the Strait of Hormuz and might not ever open it. They're probably going to pursue nuclear weaponry even, you know, faster than they ever have before. The regime is probably going to have more control than they've ever had before. So whether you believe these goals or not, it's all wrong. None of it's happening.
We have it all. Ultramethylene Blue, we have the best. The Shilajit, we have the best. The Turmeric, we have the best. We have the best spike protein, pro cardiovascular, ultimate life force. The best Irish sea moss gummies and capsules. Incredible. Research for yourself. We have the best at theultrastore.com. And if you buy any of them, they're 50% off when you sign up for auto ship. Cancel anytime. And then you guarantee it never sells out. They hold it back. You get 50% off on future orders. And anybody that downloads for free the Android or the Apple app, you find both links to it at alexjonesapp.com. It's free. You get an additional 20% off at checkout on top of that. Now, I had to convince Bitly to do this. They were a little skeptical because they like to give you good deals, but not this good because it's loss leader when you use the app. But because we have an 80%+ reorder rate on things like Ultramethylene Blue, it's actually working because you get it, you love it, and you keep ordering. So these are great products. I want to induce you to try them. You know our information's hardcore. Try the products. It's just as hardcore. 1776 worldwide. We will crush the 1984 globalist system. God bless you all.